سلام کعبه دلها حسین جان، سلام شمع ما فلها حسین جانم،
حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جانم.
اعوذ بالله من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم، الحمد لله اوله بلا اول کان قبله وآخره بلا آخر يكون بعده الذي قصرت عن رؤيته أبصار الناظرين وأجزت عن نعته أوهام الواصفين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا حبيب إله رب العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعليه الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعنة الداعم على أدائهم وغاصب حقوقهم ومنكر فضائلهم أجمعين من علان إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في محكم الكتاب المجيد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، لقد كرمنا بني آدم وحملناه على البر والبحر، صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلاة الله محمد وعلى محمد. In the beginning, I would address to my youngsters, inshallah, if you all come here, right in front of me, please, with a loud salat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. All of you. One more salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Very good, mashallah. Last night, we talked about the life or the historical events that took place during the lifetime of the fourth Imam. Do you remember that? Right? We said that how difficult it was for the fourth Imam to really transfer that knowledge, Islam, Quran, to the Mu'mineen. Do you remember that hadith of the fourth Imam? What did he say in regards to how many are left among the lovers of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam in Mecca and Medina? Do you remember that figure? How many were there? 20. About 20. So imagine that. 20 people who believed or who loved Ahlul Bayt at the time of the fourth Imam. Yeah? So it is really, you know, unbelievable that after that, today we see how many are Shias or lovers of Ahlul Bayt today in the world. Just 20 million attend the Ziyarat of Arba'een, right? They walk to do the Ziyarat of Arba'een. So how many have increased, right? At the time of the fourth Imam, there were only 20. Some of the hadiths that we have from the sixth Imam, they even name, how many they name? Five, only five. And the understanding or the knowledge about God that is in Shia school, that is in our sort of belief system, is very deep, is very philosophical compared to other sort of beliefs that are there, or other schools that are there, or even other beliefs in Christianity or in Judaism or in Hinduism. The way Islam understands Tawheed is very different, you know. The way Islam talks about imamat, right, vilayat, imamat, is very different to other religions. To really transfer that, it really requires a lot of difficulties, lot of tasks to train people. So we mentioned few other things. How was the culture at that time? Do you remember that? Do you remember how was the culture? How were the people? People were merrymaking and dancing and mixed gathering. You know, mixed gathering started during that time. This is in Mecca and Medina. Medina was the place where there's the shrine of the Prophet. Very religious city. Mecca and Medina was known to be very religious city, right? Because Islam started there, right? So, but on the other hand, the common people that they used to believe in Islam, that's how they have become. They were famous lady singers who were well respected, who were invited in different gatherings. And then what about the harsh treatment of the governors or the Khalifa? Do you remember that? What was his name? You know, who was appointed for a few months as a governor? Hajjaj. Yeah, Hajjaj was his name. He was appointed there as a governor by Malik ibn Marwan, who came after a couple of Khalifas after Yazid. He ruled for a very long time. You know, this person, he was very famous in terms of his knowledge, in terms of his spirituality. He was always seen in Masjid al-Nabawi all the time. As soon as the death of the Khalifa takes place, and he was supposed to become the king, he was reading the Quran. The history says, as soon as the news came, the Khalifa died, now you have to become the Khalifa, he closes the Quran and he said, from today, we depart from each other. He left the Quran and he becomes the Khalifa. Oh, he was so harsh. In the very first speech, he said that, you know, stop propagating about taqwa and I will rule on you with an iron fist and with a sword. I'm not like a fool, like, for example, fool in the sense that I'm not lenient, I'm not soft like the third Khalifa, or I'm not like Muawiyah, or I'm not lazy like Yazid, but I will rule on you with sword. As soon as he got to power, the first fight he had with was with the second. There was two Khilafat going on. Remember I told you there was Abdullah ibn Zubair was ruling in Mecca and Medina, parts of Iraq was in his hand. Abdullah ibn Zubair stationed himself in Mecca. Imam Hussein, when he came to Mecca, he invited him, you know, join me, but he did not. He had his own sort of, you know, selfish desire to be the king, just like, you know, as how his father was, right? So here, Abdullah ibn Zubair was the Khalifa in Mecca, in Medina, he was ruling that side, you know, he was controlling that side. So Malik, he fought with him first, right? He torched the Kaaba, he burned the Kaaba to that extent. You know, Kaaba, they made a room on the roof of the Kaaba where the Khalifa and the dignitaries used to, you know, enjoy it, have the pleasure there, you know. But today they made it a bit other side, that big clock that you have. You know, same mentality, same, you know, sort of approach that they have is a family of Abu Sufyan type of approach, right? Hajjaj bin Yusuf, the way how he used to kill people. So Hajjaj, he was appointed as a governor to Medina. Like we said, Medina was a bed of rebels and revolutions all the time because it was a city of the Prophet. They had some sense of, you know, remorse, some sense. They have seen their elders who have seen the Prophet. There was something there in there. So Hajjaj was appointed as a governor in Medina. As soon as he went there, you know, he said that, you know, do not take me as timid or coward, but I will punish you. I'm going to be very harsh on you to the extent, you know, Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari. Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari, very famous companion of the Prophet. The Hadith-e-Kisa that we recite, you know Hadith-e-Kisa, right? We recite Hadith-e-Kisa. Hadith-e-Kisa is one of the chain of narrator of that Hadith. He has mentioned that Hadith, you know, from Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra, Salamullah alayha. Thank you very much. I want you all to recite one loud salawat. Jabir was taken by Hajjaj by force. He invited him, or he did not arrest him, but, you know, Jabir stamped. The slaves used to be stamped on their body as slaves, right? They used to make that sort of stamp. They heat it up and they will stamp it on the body. Jabir was stamped by Hajjaj ibn Yusuf as a slave. Imagine that. The companion of the Prophet, you have Hajjaj who is the governor. Look how they treated the companions. Very famous companion, right? And Jabir made a will saying that Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, who's the governor, he will not attend my funeral. However, he lived longer. You know, he lived till the time of the fifth Imam, You know, but this really shows that how upset Jabir, who is the companion of the Prophet, was with the governor. Because, you know, whenever a companion dies, he's one of the big figures. He was respected by the people. So whoever the governors and the officials were, they will attend to the funeral, right? They will come. But Jabir made a will that he should not attend because he was so upset with his actions. When he was appointed as a governor, he was there for a few years, and then from there he was sent to Iraq. You know, as Medina was controlled by Hajjaj, when he was sent to Iraq, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, who became Khalifa later on, he goes in Sajda and he thanks Allah, saying that the Fir'aun of the time was taken away from Mecca and from Medina. So that harsh he was. He died about 51 years of age with some sort of, you know, stomach disease, some bile disease. And they say he died a very bad death. You know, they used to put heaters around him, but his body was very cold. You know, 51 is nothing. Look what he did. The history have recorded it. All, not just we were talking about Shias, we are talking about history here. You know, everybody. You know. So when he went to Kufa, he veiled himself, he goes into the masjid and he sits on the minbar. Everybody was shocked. What's going on? You know, all of a sudden a man comes with a group of people, you know, and then he goes on the minbar and he sits and he unveils himself and he says, "I'm Hajjaj." As people saw this was happening, they brought stones, really stone him, right? So everybody were holding stones in their hand, and then he said that I see heads that are quite ripe, you know, and then I'm gonna cut them off if you guys don't pay allegiance to me and the Khalifa of the time. People just drop the stones one after the other. This is in Kufa. Then he goes to Basra. In Basra, the same way, he said about 4,000 men, he entered the masjid, they all hid their swords. They surrounded the masjid of the town, which was a major masjid, big masjid. And he said to his men, whoever will come out, their body should come out and their head should stay in the masjid if something happens. So he goes in that masjid and then he sits on the minbar same way. And he says to his men, if I take my amama off and put it on my lap, you take unseat, you take the swords and then you kill them, you know. Massacre, because that means they are not listening to me, right? So he goes there and then he said that I am Hajjaj, and the same thing, the way how he was in Basra, announced to everybody, but people started to throw stones at him. He takes his amama off and puts it on his lap. The men who entered the masjid, about 4,000 were in total, they started killing each other. So as the chaos started in the masjid, people started to run out. But he had his men outside. When they were trying to come out, you know, heads were severed. Their heads were landing inside the masjid, but their bodies were coming out. So people, they were scared to go outside masjid. They all went back. So after they all went back, you know, then he said that I am Hajjaj, and you have to pay allegiance to me and the Khalifa of the time. You know, so this was the situation. This harsh, like we said last night, when he died, there were 50,000 men, 30,000 women, 16,000 in mixed prisons, you know, without any clothes on their body, right? Naked. That's how they were put in prison. Harsh, very harsh. And Imam Zainul Abidin transferred, saved those values and transferred to us, and we have that today. It was not easy at all. Hazrat Zainab salamu alayha, and you know. Now it's for you and I to see what we do with this religion, what we do with this deen, how much are we really practicing, what are we doing it to transfer it to our children, where it's very easy for us. You know, our parents are doing a lot, they are sacrificing a lot, but look how they sacrifice. They sacrifice their lives, right? So that they could transfer that religion, Islam, these practices, these majalis. You know, sometimes for us it becomes very difficult to sacrifice you know, one of the options that are there in the cable, you know, ESPN Sports or something, you know, it's sometimes difficult for us to sacrifice. Maybe an Xbox game which we really want to have, it's difficult for us to sacrifice. But look how children, how women, how ladies, how the Imam suffered so that we have this deen, so that we practice, so that we do matam, so that we do majlis, so that we, you know, learn and become what? Become a good human being. You know, if our religion, if our deen that's been taught by our parents, if they are not teaching Islamic values, Islamic ethos, that religion is no good, right? You know, if our father sits on the table with his plate, he forgot to take water, if I see it, I should go get water for him. You know, this is more important. This is very important. We have to install these values in our children. If my mother comes out and I see that, you know, she's not wearing shoes, I should really run and go get the shoes. Right? The fourth Imam, how he transferred these values in the dua of the Saif. What's the book of the fourth Imam? The dua book? Saif al-Sajjadia. Right. Right. In this one of the duas, there's a dua for the parents. In that he mentions that, oh Allah, you know, he's asking God to help, right? He's asking Allah, oh Allah, make every hours of mine in which I remember my parents. Remembering parents in every hour. Imam is asking Allah that he should remember the parents all the time, right? So this is how he taught. He transferred these Islamic values, right? Where you have the dua of morals, the makarimul akhlaq, you know. So we have to really bring these values to us, pay attention to these things, right? If I'm not sharing, if I'm not caring about my friend, about my cousin, about my brother, right? If my parents have asked me to do something, I'm not fulfilling that, right? I'm getting annoyed or upset. No, I should be very careful. Yeah? Inshallah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Good. There's another unique, one of the unique things that the fourth Imam also left, other than the dua book, is called Risale, which means a book of rights, treaties of rights. It's called Risale Huquq. What is it called? Yeah, it's about treaties of right. And as a matter of fact, you know, many of those who research in human rights, you know, it's one of the major books of point of references for them to really bring that book of the fourth Imam in their research. And the supervisors or whoever is dealing with that research, they really, you know, they are quite, they become very happy if they bring that those of that reference from the treaties of right. Inshallah, you know, with these actions, with the writings, with du'as, you know, they say that the fourth Imam would, whenever he would go through or pass through butcher places, he would cry. He would ask the butchers and he would tell them, have you given them water? Because my father, he was slain, he was killed without giving water. Even the animals, they give water, right? He would do sajda whenever there's a ni'mat. Whenever something good happens to him, the fourth Imam will go in sajda. So that's how he taught with his good conduct, with his akhlaq, with du'as, and with the writings of the treaties of right. Not that he was quiet. You know, in one of the du'a of Saif al-Sajjadiyah, he clearly mentions, the enemy have put the sword on my neck or on my head. In the du'a he's mentioning. And the enemies have sent spies to really know what is happening in my house, because the Khalifa wrote a letter when the fourth Imam did something in his house. He said that, you know, this is what you did. So knowing that, he knows, they know everything what's going on in the house of the fourth Imam. So Imam, in the dua, he's mentioning that. But oh Allah, you are most powerful than all. You are my protector. You are my refuge. Right? So in this way, Imam pointed out to that, what sort of zulm was taking place. What was that scholar's name? Do you remember we talked about last night? Who kind of fabricated the hadiths, who made false, wrong hadiths? Zuhri, yeah, good. One of the scholar at that time was Zuhri, who was working with the Khalifa of the time. He wrote very wrong hadiths. You know, in one of the hadiths he wrote that, you know, the fourth Imam is very much pleased with Marwan, you know, who was one of the enemies, right? Everybody knew that. In one of the hadiths they wrote that. In one of the hadiths they wrote, when the Prophet came to Imam Ali and Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamul Alayha, you know, they did not pray namaz. And then the Prophet asked Imam Ali why. Then said, it's Allah, if He wakes us up, we'll pray namaz. This type of hadith of fabrication, false hadiths were written. And Imam have to really counter that, right? So, alhamdulillah, we are in the month of Safar. You know, these are the days that we remember the events and the sufferings that the fourth Imam went, inshallah, which we point out in the end of the majlis. Salat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. If you may recall, we were looking at three phenomena. Number one, we are looking at the phenomena of honor. What does really honor mean? You know, لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَاهُ بَنِي آدَمُ. This karamat, what does it really mean, number one? Number two, we are looking at izzat, you know, dignity. There's a difference between honor and dignity. And then, in order to understand these two realities, we pointed out to that essential reality of a human being, and that is self-recognition. Every insan likes to be self-recognized. It is in his nature. It is in his fitrat. He likes to be self-recognized. The reason we said on the basis of that metaphysical principle, because we are the product of God. As we are the product of God, the product resembles, you know, the producer, or the product resembles the one who, the creator. We are the creation of God, and the creation resembles God in every aspect, right? And that is why, you know, Allah says that Adam have been created in the image of God, right? And we gave the example that as this self-recognition is essential to us, the same way as God. God said the purpose of creation is kuntu kanzan makhfiya, you know, I was a hidden treasure, I like to be recognized, that's why I created. So this is within us, and we like to be self-recognized. But we said that how we will approach this self-recognition: through dignity, which is izzat, or through this grace. As this is the essential aspect of every creation, not only insan, but even haiwan, the example we gave of the cat, or even the minerals as well, they have that essential reality of being self-recognized, right? So here we were talking about last night, we stopped about honor. What does لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَاهُ بَنِي آدَمُ? Allah says, I have honored Bani Adam. I have honored. What is this honor? Honor is a gift given by God. It is free. You know, it is an honor to love Imam Hussein. We don't do really anything to have that love in us as such. We didn't do anything to become insan. Allah made us insan. It is an honor to be insan. Have we done anything to be insan? No. You know, Allah really made us insan. You know, this is an honor given without doing anything, right? And we said last night that this honor that is given by God, if we fulfill our responsibility towards this honor that is God given, then we will gain izzat. Then we will gain dignity. And this dignity that we are gaining is also from Allah, really. Al-izzatu lillahi wa li rasulihi wa lil mu'mineen. You know, the izzat, the dignity is of Allah and of Rasul and of the mu'mineen. So now we will look at the khutbah, the sermon of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, to really understand what this karama or honor really mean in a deeper level, and then we'll cite few examples as well in history. Help me with the salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Picture this. On the eve of Ashura, after the Maghribain prayer, Imam Hussein is surrounded by the enemies, right? 3 days water supply have been cut. And it is the evening and there's a battle tomorrow. And he has already warned them that everyone will be killed. So after Maghrib in prayer, he gives this khutbah. He begins by saying that, Uthani ala Allahi ahsana thana. He begins by thana, by praising God. Now obviously, we have to really grow a bit, you know, invest a bit in understanding these different meanings. What does really thana mean? And what does really hamd mean? There's a difference in that. You know, Imam is saying, Uthni ala Allahi ahsana thana. He is saying the best of sana, the best of praises belongs to God. The only time we praise God is when we have something good been given to us, right? But here, Imam is surrounded by the enemies. And he's saying the ahsan, the best of sana belongs to God. The best of praises belongs to God. And then after that, he says that, wa ahmadahu ala sarrai wa dharrai. And I thank God upon surur, upon happiness, upon joy, and dharrai upon, you know, difficulties, turmoils. He's thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the same time. First he says sana, then he thanks. What is the difference? Sana, very quickly, because this is not where I want to focus. Later on he mentions that. He mentions, Allahumma inni ahmaduka. He says, oh Allah, ahmaduka. Once again he thanks God. And he says, ala an akramtana bin nabuwa. He talks about karamat. Akramtana bin nabuwa. Oh Allah, I thank you because you have honored us with nabuwat. He has used the word akramtana. So this is the point of focus, but it will help us to really understand the in-depth words that he has chosen on the eve of Ashura to really, you know, give that khutbah, where he says there's a difference in thana and hamd. Thana, one would say, for example, to make it simple, is on the angelic realm. Hamd is on the worldly plane, you know. When we get something, we say, Alhamdulillah. That's why he's saying, Ahmaduka ala sarrai wa dharrai. The pains and joy is related to this dunya. The akhirah is always joy, especially for the muttaqeen, you know, for the believers, right? So the imam is saying, Alhamdulillah, you know, I thank God. If something bad happens to me, something evil, I'm in pain, I'm in difficulty, Alhamdulillah. If something good also happens to me, he's thanking God in both. But the first thing he says, Uthni, he says sana, he says praise. Praise is on a higher level, is on an angelic level. When a person's insight or when a person's vision or his understanding is geared towards the malakut, the angelic realm, is geared towards the Jabarut, which is a higher level, you know, that where there's a Jabarut means the names of God, right? When a person is focused towards that, then he recites or then he speaks in this fashion. What was the most zikr or the chanting or the zikr that the Imam was doing in the plain of Karbala? Huh? What was it he was saying the most? He was saying, yes, he was thanking Allah and he was saying, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And he was saying, Inna lillahi. Right. This is a purely tawhidi zikr. You know, he would conquer land after land while fighting. He attacks the right wing of Yazid. He conquers that land, marks it with a spear. Then he goes to the left wing of Yazidi forces. Kill them all, conquers it, puts a spear there. He was conquering like that. And every station he was stopping, you know, wiping his forehead, the sweat, the blood, and he was saying, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You know, if a person comes here, if there be a, for example, not here, some other place, for if there be a fight, if somebody gets into a fight, you know, if I knock him off, I'll be like, wow, man, I'm good. You know, two comes, I knock them out as well. I mean, when we are playing Xbox, when you knock 2-3 out, we feel so proud, huh? Just on the Xbox, just on the PlayStation, right? You know, we are talking about physically, if there be a fight or something, you know, I boxing or whatever, you know, I go higher levels, I feel that ego, I feel proud of myself. But what Imam Hussein is saying, he's saying, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Him is nothing. He's not counting him as anything. That is pure tawheed. That is the tawheed that the Imams want us to reach. Our life, our journey is nothing but knowing and living tawheed. That's what our journey is. Ya ayyuhal insan, innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan fa mulaqi. O insan, O people, O nas, you are on a journey for mulaqi, to meet God. That's our journey. So the Imam have the du'as and all that, as we talked about the fourth Imam, you know, the Sayyidah Sajjadiyah and all that, right? Other du'as as well. Like we said last night, you know, two volumes of books of Urafa, of scholars who are experts in the field of mysticism, they will base their 2-3 volumes on 3-4 lines of du'a of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. You know, that in-depth understanding of Tawheed. So the Imam here, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. You know, when the famous statement that we always used to hear, Ma ra'aytu illa ra'i jamila. You know, that beauty, that Tawheed, that understanding. So here, Imam Uthani ala Allahi ahsana thana. His focus towards that sort of realm, those realities. For him, you know, that pain, difficulties, it's nothing. It's not on that mulki. You know, he's focused there. Just like, for example, another example I will give, you know, for us to be more clear, these examples or that I'm citing are quite, it helps us to grasp higher realities. For example, the name of Allah is Mumit. That means what? Mumit means what? The one who takes life. Right, that's Mumit. Like we said, that is the realm of the Asma Ilahi, Jabarut, we call that, right? That where the names of God are there, pure. Above than the angelic realm, right? Much purer than the angelic realm, right? That is Mumit. When that name transfers to a lower level, right, from Allah, it becomes Malakul Maut. Right, it is that very name, is the name of Mumit that have transferred as it has reached the level of Malakut. You know, it becomes Malakul Maut or Israel or whatever the different names that the Quran takes about those who take life. Because it's the same function. On that Jabaruti level is Mumit who is taking that life. Then it comes on the Malakul Maut level, right? When that Malakul Maut comes on this worldly plane, it becomes Maut, it becomes death. As the fourth Imam mentions, that what is death? Death is nothing but the manifestation of the name of Mumit. Is a reflection. When a person who is about to die, he sees Mumit. When he sees Mumit, he's gone. This name of Mumit manifested out to him. Now, obviously, you know, for us to understand, there's this Israel, there's this Malakul Maut who comes, who takes the soul away, for that. But as a matter of fact, you know, the Imams, what they want us to understand, they want us to go on that level of Tawheed. That understanding they want from us. Whether we learn it here, or we learn it in Barzakh, or hereafter, we have to learn it. This is a journey. You know, then only we'll be able to famulaqi. You know, then only we'll be able to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, these are high principles where the soul must really learn to adapt. Just like how that child develops those, you know, gills, those lungs in the womb of the mother, so that when it comes to this dunya, it could breathe. It's not put in the incubator. So if we don't learn these higher realities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before meeting Him, you know, in Barzakh, we will be taught, it will be difficult, as Amirul Mumineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam says that. He says, I do not like to die young, you know, child, but I would like to live longer so that I have the ma'arif, so that I had the knowledge of God. You know, Jannat, paradise, when we say that when a child dies, he will enter paradise. However, you know, there are traditions which says that when a child dies, he's trained, he's taught, he's refined, you know, so that he develops that capacity to really meet God. You know, it's not like the child will remain a child. That's a journey. You know, eventually everyone have to meet God, and meeting God is not an easy thing, right? So here, when the Imam Hussain is pointing out, he's saying, Uthni, meaning that praise, he's geared towards those kamalat. For him is nothing, right? Now, we will connect this with the conclusion of this sermon, of this sana to the conclusion of the sermon, right? So here, akramtana, let's come to that which we are discussing. He says, Allahumma inni. Now, obviously, there was ahmaduka ala sarrai wa dharai. Praise to Allah. Whether, you know, something bad happens to me, I'm in difficulty, and at the same time good, it doesn't make any difference. You know, it doesn't make any difference because everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for him, right? But he has to fulfill his responsibility towards what is unfolded to him. That is very important to gain that izzat, as we are talking about, to keep that in mind. He said, Allahumma inni ahmaduka ala an akramtana bin nabuwan. Akramtana bin nabuwa. Nabuwat is an honor given to us. So, akramtana, karamat, you know, karramna bani adam, you know, this is an honor given to us. Now, we have to fulfill our honor towards this nabuwat, for example, here, if you want to say. That is why Imam Hussain said that my qiyam, my uprising, is for Amar bil Maruf, is to revive the seerah and the sunnah of the Prophet and of my father. It is to fulfill my responsibility towards the nabuwat that has been given to me. Akramtana bin nabuwa. The nabuwat, it's an honor for us. And as it is an honor, you know, one have to fulfill his responsibility towards this honor that God have given us. Right? So karamat, لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. This honor that God have given, it's a gift without we doing anything. But if we fulfill our responsibility towards this honor that is given to us, then that brings izzat. A child who is 9 years old. How old are you guys?
Nine.
9, 10, okay. Don't you want to fast in the month of Ramadan? Yeah, there you go. Now, but if these children, they go to school and they say, we are fasting, the 40-year-old teacher will say, really? Do you drink anything when you are fasting? No. Are you allowed to have fruits when you are fasting?
No.
So from sunrise to from dawn, you know, from Sahri time, you know, before Fajr till sunset, you can't have anything. The 40-year-old will say that, oh, this is not possible. I cannot do that. Right? Right? But they do it. When they do it, it brings what? It brings izzat. You know, when we say that my son, you know, he fasted, they will respect him. In school, they will respect him. In community, they will respect him because he is, that child is fulfilling his responsibility towards this nabuwat, towards this command, towards this Quran. So therefore, whenever, you know, Salat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, don't speak. So whenever we fulfill our responsibility towards the honor given, then that brings an izzat. So this Hussein and Majalis of Imam Hussein and Azadari of Imam Hussein, you know, that has been given to us, the love of Imam Hussein. If we fulfill our responsibility towards Imam Hussein, then that brings about izzat. Like, for example, if you look in the history, those who were the Zawwar of Imam Hussein, they sacrificed themselves during the time of Mutawakkil, right? How they used to cut the limbs of them, but they still went for the Ziyarat of Imam Hussein. That brought that izzat, because they are saying Labbaik to Hussein, right? They are fulfilling their responsibility towards the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. We'll give you more examples. Just briefly, I want to point out to here, which is related to the example that I gave. I will not look at all of the khutbah. Then he says that, you know, wa akramtana bin nabuwa wa allamtana al-Quran wa waffaqtana fid-deen, right? He has all mentioned all of these things. I will use this part of his khutbah tomorrow,
وَجَعَلْتَ لَنَا أَسْمَاءً وَأَبْصَارًا وَأَفْئِدَةً فَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ.
He says, I thank God for providing me with the eyes, with the ears, you know, with the heart that have that capacity to understand. He's thanking God for that. This part we'll look at tomorrow. But what I want to point out here is this. He says, أَمَّا بَعْد, after that he says that, you know, if you guys are ready for what I'm ready, I'm not reading the Arabic one. If you guys are ready for what I'm ready, you know that for me it will be easy to really face because of the honor given to me. There's some honor given to me. There's some unique peculiarities that is given to me by which to face what I'm going to face tomorrow, it will be easier. And the same applies for all of you. The Imam mentions there. The same applies for all of you. Right? Because of the honor that has been provided to you. Right? That is why we have the Ashab or the Hadith from the fifth Imam quoting the Prophet, where he mentions that the Ashab of Imam Hussein were such that the iron on their body had no effect. Not that they were not in pain. You know, pain is very sweet. Is fasting difficult? It's difficult to thirst and so on and so forth. But it is very sweet at the same time. You know, I always use this example. There is an amal, you know, which is mentioned in Hazaro Yek Kalame of Ayatullah Hassanzadeh Amali in the very beginning about Bismillah Rahman Rahim. For Hajat, you recite Bismillah Rahman Rahim on every verse of the Quran, from Hamd till Nas. You know, it's like big book, the whole Quran. You recite Bismillah Rahman on every sat, every line of the verse, you recite Bismillah Rahman Rahim, right? After Baqarah or so, your finger, you don't feel anything. It's gone. Right? Obviously, by the end of the whole hand is numb. Reciting Bismillah Rahman Rahim, you have to do that, right? The whole Quran, right? It takes a lot of time, you know, a couple of hours perhaps. I don't exactly remember because I did it a long time ago, you know. But afterwards, you feel the pain, obviously, when that numbness starts to deteriorate, right? But that pain is so sweet. It's not that there's no pain, there is pain, you know, but it's so sweet. It has no effect. So the Ashab of Imam Hussein, as the Imam Hussein is saying that, because of the karamat, because of the honor that God have given me, it is a bit easier, and same applies for the Ashab as well. The same way, you know, how it is easier for our children to fast. It's not difficult for them, it's a bit easier. It is difficult, but it's not that difficult, you know, difficult as a person who is a 40-year-old, you say, oh, really, you can do that? You know, for me, I can't do it, you know, it's not possible for me to do it, right? But for us, it is not. Why? Because there's something special been given to us. This is an honor given to us. Walking from Najaf to, you know, 20 million people, can anyone imagine, right? People just go there. They don't really care anything, right? Their life, death, how can you do that? But it is easier. Why? So same way Imam Hussain says to the Ashab, it is easier for you guys as well compared to. And then he continues the khutbah. And here I would want to point out to that story, a very interesting story about trying to relate the responsibility of the honor that God gives, how it is in the episode of Karbala. Habib ibn Mazahir, we gave an example last night, who was one of the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. There are two reports. Some say he was of the same age of Imam Hussein. He was the friend of Imam Hussein. Some say no, he was born at the first of Hijrah, meaning that 40, when Prophet was 40 years old, when that, you know, Quran, you know, started, when Prophet declared, he was born at that time. But there exists a confusion about Habib, and that is, there was another companion who was known as Muslim ibn Awsaja, who was quite an older companion. So some kind of, you know, the confusion exists because either it was him who was old, or it was either Muslim ibn Awsaja. Regardless, if you look at the other aspect, which is Habib was the friend of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, of the same age, very close friend. They used to play with each other, they used to hang out with each other, right? And they would yearn for each other to meet, huh? So the father of Habib invited the Prophet for a supper, for a dinner. Obviously, Prophet coming for the dinner, it is quite valuable thing. I mean, you know, he's the Prophet and he's coming for lunch, he's coming for the supper at his house, he's the guest. So he was very happy and he was asking Habib to go up the roof and take a look. Well, have they reached and how far they have reached. So Habib was influxing, was going back and forth on the stairs. And all of a sudden he tripped and he falls down and he dies. Habib dies. Because he tripped, he died on the stairs and he dies. And now the father, now the Prophet is about to come. You know, what's going to happen if I tell the Prophet, my son died, you know, the whole party will be cancelled. You know, he will not be here, he will be upset, he's my guest. And you should not make the guest, you know, unhappy. You should not make your guest sad. Look, these are the values. This is what, you know, Islam is teaching, to respect the guest. Even to the extent where the son died and the father of Habib doesn't want to inform. Now, one might say that, oh, Maulana, you're talking about the time of the Prophet. Wait a minute. The teacher of Imam Khomeini, Malik Aghai Tabrizi, Jawad Malik Aghai Tabrizi, was the Ustad of Imam in Akhlaq, right? And Ustad of many of the great scholars in the contemporary period. His son, on the day of Eid, goes to the pound, you know, the house that they have. In Iran, they have this pound in their house, like a swimming pool, small, where they make wuzu and all that, in the courtyard. He fell in that and he drowned. He died on the day of Eid. Now here, Malik Aghai Tabrizi, now is the day of Eid. The students will be coming, the guests will be coming to say Eid. It's a happy occasion. They will bring shirini, sweets, so on and so forth. Now it will be not nice towards the guest. So he puts his son in the room. Everybody came, he sat there, he welcomed everybody, chai, shirini, and, you know, give Eid Mubaraki to everyone. And then in the evening, he asked a couple of his close students and friends that, please, will you stay behind? Because this incident happened, I need help for the funeral. You know? So same way Habib, you know, he fell and he died. And now finally the Prophet comes with Habib. Now Habib, they are friends. You know, when your friend comes to your house, you are desperate to really meet him, to play together, right? The same way your friend who have come to your house as well. And the father of Habib is saying, you know, yeah, he will come, or he's in the room, he's sleeping. So finally Imam Hussein says, come on, let me go to the room. So he goes to the room and he says, oh Habib, come on, get up, let's play. So Habib got up and started playing with Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Allah have honored Hussein. And Hussein said labbaik to Allah. That brought a perpetual izzat to Hussein that will last till the day of judgment and after. You see? Allah, Hussein honored Habib. This is an honor which is given to Habib. And Habib said labbaik to Hussein. And he also became Hussein in the plain of Karbala. So we all have responsibility. We've been honored in the love of Hussein. And we have to say labbaik to Hussein. We have to fulfill our responsibility to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, right? And then that will be the izzat, which Imam Hussein later on mentions that in the khutbah. What is that? Inshallah, we'll look at it tomorrow. And also try to look at some of the hurdles that doesn't allow us to recognize this honor, this that Allah have provided us with, right? So here is Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This is certain unique peculiarities, unique way God have honored Hussein. As I mentioned last night, Ayatollah Misbah mentions in one of his talks that Hussein did everything or gave everything what Allah asked for. And Allah will do everything what Hussein wants. Right? You know, that is special maqam of Abu Abdullah Hussein. Where the companion, it's not like, obviously, the first is, as we say, Awwaluna Muhammad, Awsatuna Muhammad, Kulluna Muhammad, no doubt. You know, the eighth Imam companion said, but it's something about Hussein. You know, you're also my Imam. I believe you. You're just the same way as we say awwaluna awsatuna akhiruna, the companion of the imam is, believes him. But Hussein, there is something that moves in my heart when the name of Hussein is taken. The eighth imam replied, oh my friend, oh my companion, right? He says, do you read the ayahs of the sajda which are wajib? When you read that ayah of the sajda, right, you go in sajda, it is wajib upon you. The name of Hussein, when you take the name of Hussein, automatically the tears and love flows into the heart of the mu'mineen in regards to Hussein. That is Hussein. Hussein been given that, you know, that karama, that sort of honor. And Hussein responded to that in the best way possible that anyone could ever imagine. That how he sacrificed himself and his life. And these are the days of the captivity of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, that how they said labbaik to Hussein, how the little children said labbaik to Hussein. Hussein about to leave, Sakina says, where are you going? You know, Hussein says, I will get some water for you. Oh, father, don't go. My uncle also said the same thing, but he never returned. Oh, Sakina, you will become an orphan, but you have to be patient. You have to say labbaik to Hussein. You have to be patient. That Sakina, as soon as hears the word yatim and orphan, she says, oh my father, can you really be kind towards me the same way how you were kind to the daughters of Muslim ibn Aqil, my uncle, when the news of his death came, when his father died. Hussein picks up Sakina, places her on her chest, right? Kissed her, asked her to be patient. No. So they all were taken captives after Ashura, and from Kufa they were taken to Syria. As we are in the month of Safar, as we were speaking about what was happening in Syria for them, you know, it was full of crowd, people celebrating festivity, gathered around the heads of the Shuhada, trying to look, clapping, whistling, throwing stones upon the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Imam Zainul Abidin chained. And then they were taken into this big castle of Yazid, right? As they were approaching this, there's a story which is recorded in history that as they were approaching the castle, because it was very crowded, it was stopping, you know, in the way. And there was this lady of named by Shirin. She's been known, you know, she was from Medina and she had served the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. And here the friends of this lady says that, come, let's watch these prisoners who have come. These are the rebels who have gone against the Yazid. So let's come and watch them. They have been taken prisoners. Their heads have been brought. So let's go there. So this lady says, no, my teacher, my master, you know, she taught me that I should not make fun of prisoners. So I will not come. Then the friends that said that they are from Medina, as soon as they say they are from Medina, you know, she was moved. And she really wanted to get the news about the Ahlul Bayt who used to live in Medina where she used to serve. And then she comes out and she comes down from the roof and she sees these ladies there. And she goes to one of the lady, apparently was known to be with, you know, that awe, that sort of tall lady. And she goes and she asks that, I heard you are from Medina. You know, then she says, yes, we are from Medina. And then she says that, will you inform us about my master, Amirul Mumineen? About, you know, Hazrat Zainab, you know, she was the princess where I served them. Then she says, Hazrat Zainab says, will you recognize them? You know, will you recognize them? Yes, she says, I will recognize them. And she also reminds them, you know, my master Hussein, he had promised me that he will come to my house. Then she says that, will you recognize him as well? He says, yes. Oh, Shirin, oh, noble one, look at that head there. That is the head of Hussein. And it has come to your house. It has stopped at your doorstep. A promise fulfilled. Will you recognize Zainab? Then she says, look at me closely. I'm Zainab. You know, Hazrat Zainab wasn't recognized because of what she went through. You know, there's a statement which is given by Ayatollah Jawadi Amili. He says that on the 40th, when Zainab visited the grave of Imam Hussein, you know, she said that, "Oh Hussein, do you remember when I came to the Qatalgah, to the place where they were about to slaughter you? I said, 'Ha anta akhi, are you my brother?' Oh Hussein, if you see me now, you will say that, 'Are you my sister?'" Because Zainab was whipped the most. Zainab suffered the most. Imagine in the courtyard of Yazid, when they are chained together, a man approaches the children and the little Sakina, and he says that, "I will take her as a slave girl." What Zainab would have went through here. This is one of the reasons why the fourth Imam says that the most difficult for the Ahl Bayt and for Imam Sajjad alayhi salam was Ash-Sham. Perhaps this was the Sham where Imam is pointing out to, that an Arab is asking the Ahl Bayt, the daughter, the Qurratu Ayn, you know, the apple of the eye of Hussein, as a slave girl. Allah la'anatullah ala qawm al-zalameen. Sayyalamu al-ladhina zalamu ayyamun qalibin yanqalibun. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raja'un. Matam Hussein.
Salame kabeye delha Hussein jahan. Salame sham'ema felha Hussein jahanam.
Hussein jahanam, Hussein jahanam, Hussein jahanam. Hussein jahanam, Hussein jahanam, Hussein jahanam.
Salame
Hussein jahanam, Hussein jahanam, Hussein jahanam. Hussein jahanam, Hussein jahanam, Hussein jahanam.
Hamishe balabam name to bosham. Hamishe balabam name to bosham. Hamiguyam ke Mawla Hussein jamunam, qamat ra az dilo jan mi paziriram. Qamat ra az dilo jan mi paziriram. Konam barpa aza yasra Hussein jamunam.
Hussein jamunam, Hussein jamunam, Hussein Jahanam, Hussein jahanam.
Salame kabeye delha Hussein jahanam. Salame kabeye delha Hussein jahanam. Salame sham'ema felha Hussein jahanam.
Hussein jahanam, Hussein
Salamay babera, mat babe jannah. Salamay babera, mat babe jannah. Salamay rahbare, wala Hussein jawana. Salamay mifeye, albe payamba.
Hussein jahanam, Hussein jahanam, Hussein jahanam. Hussein jahanam, Hussein jahanam, Hussein jahanam.
همیشه بلبم نام تو باشد، همیشه بلبم نام تو باشد، همی گویم که ای مولا حسین جانم، غمت را از دل و جان می‌پذیرم، غمت را از دل و جان می‌پذیرم، کنم برپا از آیت را حسین جانم،
حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حس